ॐ अज्ञानतिमनन्दस्य ज्ञानन्दनासलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपरन्तिकं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So the days have gone very fast. And Radhadish is already crying in separation. The whole week of sunshine and a week of so many impressions and enlightenment. And then you all had an amazing Ratiatra. I also had a great day because all of you were not here. Although I missed you a lot, and another part of me also liked to be alone for a day and rest a bit. Because there's a party every day in the spiritual world, and how you do that in the material world is sometimes difficult. We've dealt with many topics so far this week, and now it's come to the final one, which describes the external versus the internal. It made me think of Rupa Goswami's writing, where he says, "What is the point of the bowman's arrow? What is the point of the words of the poet? If they don't pierce the heart and don't make the head to spin." So I thought that is really what we're talking about, is that gradually Krishna consciousness is piercing the heart. The amazing thing is that within the external, the internal manifests in so many ways. Krishna himself comes to this material world. Krishna was contemplating how all the living beings had come to the material world and had turned away from him. And Krishna was thinking, yes, I should give them some mercy. Then Krishna thought to himself, why would I give them some mercy? I'll give them all the mercy. And Krishna manifested the entire spiritual world in the material world. So that's quite something. The very fact that we have the Holy Dham within this material world. Krishna put the whole spiritual world in the material world. I mean, what a brilliant idea. What an amazing act, really, if you think about it, that is available. So somehow or other, I had the good fortune of staying there many years. And being able to render some service in our Krishna Balaram Mandir, and at one point, be a lead or be one of the leaders in that project. And at that time, we were thinking that the best thing we could do here in taking care of the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan is trying to be transparent to the Holy Dham. Because the Holy Dham is the spiritual world, but it is covered by a layer of yoga maya, the illusory energy of Krishna, and therefore it looks like an Indian village. And anyone who goes there can certainly sense that this is not an ordinary place. There is something of that spiritual nature of the Dham coming through the external covering. But still, the external covering is also there. There was one mother, actually from England, who came to the Dham to visit her son, and it was like, oh, is this your Vrindavan? There are hogs in the street. Oh, is this your Vrindavan? It's not clean. Oh, is this your Yamuna? But they're passing urine on the banks. And in this way, she nonstop found fault with Vrindavan. Then when she came to our guest house and she went in the bathroom to fresh up, then suddenly the ultimate nightmare came true. A rat just jumped out of the toilet. What every kid is afraid of happened. And 3 hours later, she was on the airport in Delhi on the way back to London. What shall we say? That Holy Dham is not at all an ordinary place and fully under transcendental control. But one with mundane eyes cannot perceive. It is not so easy. So when we were there, we thought that our service would be to try and make the temple as transparent as possible to the Holy Dham, right? And as much as possible serve the spiritual atmosphere of the Dham and let that come through. So in the same way, spirit is very much present within the material world. The mercy of Krishna is manifesting in so many ways. There are everywhere deities, some self-manifested deities. Many deities are found, just like... And these deities are full of mercy. In Nepal, they have this big deity of Mahavishnu, maybe 10 meters long, lying in a water tank, and brahmanas are worshipping the lotus feet. They don't allow Westerners to come near, but we were lying in ambush, and when the brahmana just for a moment went another direction, we ran down and touched the big toe of Lord Mahavishnu, which has been touched so many times by so many people that it shines. We touched it too. The brahmana said, and he said, Haribol. And now that I'm in Kathmandu, in the palace of the king in Kathmandu, which is just in the central square, there is also a wonderful deity, a deity of Lord Nisringadev. And actually, in my previous ashram, or two ashrams back, actually, I was a grihasta. And then my former wife didn't like flying, and that was a soft way to express it. Like, you know, some people have this fear of flying. She used to have it. She was dead scared. I mean, so we were flying, but we had been in Kathmandu. We had seen that deity, and we were flying back towards Europe, and we're on the plane, and she was sitting there, and I go, are you all right? No answer. I go, shall I get some juice for you? No answer, right? Frozen in the chair. And then I said, well, here, read the magazine. And she did open the magazine, and as she opened it, the picture of the deity of Nasringadev from the palace in Kathmandu was in there on a full-size page. And somehow or other, that was a sign. Lord Nasringadev was there. He was present. Wasn't just a picture of the deity, but he just manifested at a time when it was really needed. And then, all right, then that broke the fear. So in this way, Krishna is manifesting in so many ways in the material world, in our life, again and again. Not only in the form of deities, not only in the form of scripture, but Krishna is also personally acting, right, within the material world. Krishna is not only a passive personality seated on his throne, sort of waiting for a devotee to do some good deed and then send a beam of light down and I got the mercy, blessings of the Lord. No, Krishna is also personally taking initiatives. So in this way, Krishna is always there within, also now, in every moment in our life. Krishna is with us, and that makes it not only that this bhakti yoga is some sort of mechanical process which we are following on the basis of scriptures. Can I turn that light down? Sort of like, because I feel like third degree. Sorry about that. But it's like I was wondering what's going on with me. I was thinking my head, there's something wrong with my head. Suddenly I realize it's the super bright light in my eyes. So Krishna is everywhere and with us at all times. And the art is really to see. The art is to see Krishna and to... So we begin to see how things are Krishna's arrangement and more and more. That's seeing Krishna indirectly, seeing how Krishna is behind everything. And the more one tries to serve Krishna, Krishna also will reciprocate and will make more and more arrangements. In my life, many times, Krishna was there. Also, before I was in Krishna consciousness, right? First of all, I mentioned several of you have interviewed me the last days in the Meet the Swami program, and then I've told you that in the beginning I was trying to avoid the devotees, but then I got this girlfriend with a dog, and the dog's name was Krishna, and then I was chanting. Because I was calling this dog, and the dog would never come. Krishna! Like, in that way, I got purified, and I did Harinam every night. And that was like a transcendental arrangement where Krishna took an initiative, right? And then... Well, then I joined the temple in Vrindavan, but I also afterwards escaped a little bit. And then Krishna hit me with severe jaundice, and I was knocked out with jaundice. So that forced me to follow all the four regulative principles. I was just finished. I couldn't do anything. So that, and then at the end of 5 months of jaundice, an old friend came and said, and what I've got just now from Afghanistan. I go, no. But he was very convincing and somehow or other convinced me. Just then, it had been ages since I'd done such a thing. And I walked down in the house to the letterbox, and there was a letter from Vrindavan. So I was stoned like anything. I took that letter, and it had that yeah, that envelope of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, opened the letter. It was a short letter from a devotee there. And it said, now that you've left Vrindavan, you know, I'm sure that you've started again with intoxication. That's like going like, oh my God. That was the first, honestly, the first time I ever did that since I left Vrindavan. And I got this letter right away, you know. So I could see that Krishna is like, whoa, Krishna really doesn't want me to go. He wants me to carry on with this. So I carried on with Krishna consciousness. I went to the temple, went back to the temple in Amsterdam, stayed there. But after a little while, again, you know, it got too much for me in my mind. Just they sent me out on Sankirtan, and it was just too much. I can't tell all the stories because it would take too much time, but it was just too much, and I decided to escape again. So I escaped, and I had to go from the east of the country to my hometown, quite a journey. And on the train, I got this strange feeling on my legs. Something was going on, and I looked, I went to the bathroom, checked it out, my whole legs covered in boils. By the time I came to my hometown, I had a boil like the size of a tennis ball on my hip, and I still have a big scar there. And, you know, like I came home to my girlfriend I used to live with before I came to her, and I just crashed, right? I said, like, She said, oh, you've come. I said, I'm sick like a dog. Boom. Crash. 3 days, I was sick. Then I got a little better. And then I went to the movies. Little Maya, you know what I mean. So I went to the movies. And then I'm watching this movie. And suddenly in the middle of the movie, there were Hare Krishnas. And I go, oh, my God, you know. And they come closer, and the tilak was wrong. There was no leaf on the nose. So I go like, these are not real, these guys. And next moment they go into a bar, and they sit down, and some girls come and sit on their laps, and then they get a beer and said, it's good to have a drink after a hard day's work. And I thought, this is outrageous. But actually, it brought me back. Because I could see, you know, like, I mean, even when I try to turn away from Krishna, he doesn't let me. He makes arrangements to remind me. So Krishna was very much there. Just from these examples, you can see it's not imaginary. I mean, this is really, someone may say, well, you're just trying to see things in a spiritual light, but it was like more than coincidence, wasn't it? Sounds like that to anyone of us. So yes, Krishna is very present. And therefore, the devotee must seek out Krishna. We must be open to Krishna. We are looking for Krishna. We are looking also for Krishna's plan and Krishna's desire. A devotee is of course working under the direction of the Vaishnavas, but he's also working under the direction of the super soul, and he's also trying to see what does Krishna want from me, and is there some sign or something like that? Yeah, and sometimes things clearly seem to give us a sign, like in this case, in my story, it was clearly like, go back to the temple. Okay, I got it. I went back. So in this way, we are living with Krishna. And that actually is how Krishna consciousness is more than a mechanical process, more than just, all right, I have to chant, I have to purify myself, I have to hear about Krishna, and in that way I become gradually Krishna conscious and then get purified by doing devotional service, and then in this way, you know, like you become gradually fixed up and you come to Nista, and then, you know, you make more advancement, and then you get Ruchi. And then it sounds like some sort of step-by-step mechanical process, but actually Krishna is there along the way. And we begin to see that more, more and more, Krishna. That's a beginning. So from the external to the internal, we begin externally our Krishna consciousness. We dress like devotees, we live like devotees, and all these things, they bless us. I was reading about Garuda and how Garuda appeared in this world. And it was described that the sage Kasyapa had two wives. One was the mother of the serpents. Her name was Kadru. And then we had, what was it, Vinati, the mother of Garuda. So somehow or other these were two co-wives of Kasyapa. And between the wives there was a competition. So one day the elder wife, Kadru, was saying, I challenge you, I challenge you that the horse, Uchai Shrava, who came from the ocean of nectar, right, is not pure white, but has a blackish tail. Well, in general, that horse is described as a white horse, right? And everyone knows that horse that came from the ocean of nectar as a white horse. So she was saying something that was actually out of the ordinary, out of common knowledge. You know, it's like, no, but that horse is white. So they got an argument. And then finally Kadru said, no, the horse is not white. I guarantee you there is black in the tail, and I challenge you to a bet, said, whoever of us is right, that person will be the winner, and the other one has to become the servant, the maid servant of the winner. So, it became like a heavy bet, actually. And then what she did, she arranged for some of the serpents to take on the forms of black hairs in the tail of that horse, so she wouldn't lose. So she cheated. And then the mother, or the younger wife, lost and had to become the maid servant. And then her son automatically also had to serve, and that son was Garuda. So Garuda said to his mother, why do we have to serve these Nagas? Right? Why do we have to serve them? It's like he really had a hard time with that. He had a natural enmity with Nagas. And then Garuda, then there was a blessing. It said that you'll have to serve them until you bring them the nectar, right? The nectar that came from the ocean. Anyway, that was very much protected by all the devas and very difficult. And make the long story a little short, Garuda somehow or other stole it. All the demigods came to fight, but Garuda was stronger. And he brought that nectar to the devatas. And Indra complained, and he said to Indra that Indra would have to steal it from the demons, which he did later. But anyway, then Garuda got blessings and got freedom for himself and his mother. Then he became extremely powerful, and he came before the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And Garuda at that time apparently didn't quite understand who Vishnu was. So he said to Vishnu, Garuda was everywhere, defeated all the demigods, and he was the most powerful. And then Vishnu appeared before him. And Vishnu said, yes, I will bless you. Then Garuda said, yes, you may bless me that I will always be above you. And then the Lord said, so be it. And since that time, Garuda was on the flag of the Supreme Lord, always above him, on his chariot. The Lord has the flag of Garuda, right, with him. And in that way, he's always above the Lord. All the various Kshatriya kings have their flags, right? Arjuna, of course, has Hanuman on his flag. And Maharaj Pariksit had a lion on his flag, right? But all these flags were not just flag. It is said that, Prabhupada explains, he says, the lion of Maharaj Pariksit was actually Lord Nrisingadev. And in this way, he had the protection of Lord Nrisingadev, not just mentally, you know, like, but he actually, by being present on the flag, the protection was there. Hanuman was actually assisting the Pandavas in the battle, and it said that whenever Bhima would roar in the battle of Kurukshetra, then Hanuman would roar along with him, right? So, like, that was really scary, that suddenly this extra voice was roaring, an intense roar, because the combination of the two was quite powerful. So in this way, we see that also in the life of all these great Vedic kings, in the Vedic culture, the mercy of the Lord was very present in their life. And in their whole life, they brought in so many things. It is described how Krishna performed his daily activities, and that daily he would give away so many cows to the brahmanas, that early in the morning he would see auspicious things. He would see cows, a marble statue of a cow, just so that he would be purified. It's very interesting to see how it is described that Krishna was looking at marble statues of cows in the morning, because we also do at Mangal Arati. So all these things are not at all material. They actually bring the spiritual within. They bring the spiritual within our consciousness. And little by little it penetrates, and little by little there it takes over. Now, the heart. The heart may be compared to a big palace with many, many chambers and many rooms. And different individuals may have, each has their own palace, and each may have a different arrangement. And some may have a palace which has like a big moat around it and a bridge. Some may even, in other words, some have like a big defense around their heart, around their personality, and nobody gets in. They're very closed, very reserved. Some even have crocodiles in the form of harsh words to keep people at a distance in the moat, to make it more difficult to get close. Some have guards, which are fear personified, on the towers and the walls, and always an anxiety about, you know, like, what are they going to say to me? What do they think about me? What do they know about me? All fear, actually, about opening the heart. Some people are more open, more welcoming. They don't have such defense mechanisms. And they open the gates, and people come in the palace and sit there in the public quarters and so on. And there are nice exchanges, and they are everybody's friend. And, you know, they seem to be people of the heart, and they're like so warm and so open and so on. But Those are only the outside rooms of the palace. There are also inner quarters of the palace. Even with those extrovert, open people, they also have their inner quarters. They're more private quarters. They won't share with everybody. Just maybe something with some. And then there is the innermost chamber. And in that chamber, whatever is there, that will share with no one. With no one. Not even with your wife. Not with your mother. With no one. That which you never told anyone. That in that inner chamber. That hidden thing there. And it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sadari Daya Kandare Vusachinandan. It says there in that innermost chamber of the heart, there must be the Supreme Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. It is there that we have to worship the Supreme Lord. But so we have so many things on the outside, yeah? So many dealings on the outside, but internally we maintain our hidden secret, our hidden desires to enjoy the material world in some way or another. Of course, in a way, you know, it's a bit... we may have all these walls around it, we may have all these moats around it, all this protection to hide our greatest secret. But, you know, like, there's once, like, two people sitting next to each other, and they were each hiding their innermost thoughts from one another. And above their heads, we had the thought bubbles. And when you looked at the thought bubbles, you saw that in both the bubbles there was the same thing, and that they were hiding the same thing from each other. Right? Because actually, all of us are conditioned in the same way. Vacha vegam manasakroda vegam jiva vegam udrapasta vegam etan vegam yuvisaheta diram sarvam apimam pitavim sasishat. We all have the pushings of the mind, the senses, anger, lust, tongue, belly, genitals. These things are dictating everyone. It's not that, like, that's such a unique, hidden secret. Gradually, Krishna must penetrate. Now, let us say that in our spiritual life, we have gone from the outer gate of the palace, which is the Kanista gate. At the Kanista gate, the Kanista Adhikari has faith in Krishna, but the Kanista Adhikari is at the same time not yet ready to put all his faith in Krishna. Rather, the Kanista Adhikari rather plays safe. See? I mean, yes, I know that the material world is not going to satisfy me. I know that. I mean, I know that. And therefore, I turn to Krishna. But then on the other hand, the material energy is not that bad either. I mean, there are actually many good things. And, you know, at least I hold on to those. Because what? What if I give up my material enjoyment? And what if I don't get the higher spiritual ecstasy? Then I won't have my spiritual ecstasy and I won't have my material enjoyment. I'll have nothing. It's like, yeah, in Dutch we sort of say, to fall between the shore and the ship, right? We have this thing, you know? You go on the ship and you sort of, okay, you step off the shore, about to step on the boat, and you miss the boat, and you have nothing. You're just in the water. So we're afraid that that might happen. Therefore, we hold on to our material things and say, Krishna, first give me a higher spiritual taste, and then I'll give up this sense gratification. But that is not what Krishna says. Therefore, the kanista is sort of holding back, because Krishna says, Sarva dharmam paricheya mamekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami maja. Just abandon everything, surrender unto me, and then I will take away all these obstacles. Then I'll take away all your material desires. So this is the issue. So, but we are afraid. So the one who enters into who stays on the external side is the kanista. So the kanista never goes very deep in spiritual life. So yes, I have for you, then the madhyam is the one who has faith and who says, whatever Krishna says, I'll put my faith there. I'll follow Krishna to the letter, his instructions, and I'm sure that will make me happy. Yeah. The uttam is transcendental and lives in his relationship with Krishna. Now I'll offer you also a model of ISKCON, right? Which is based on the same kanista madhyam uttam concept. ISKCON exists in three layers, right? On the surface of ISKCON is an organization with successes, with failures, with wonderful people, and with some things that we wonder about, with very inspiring things, and with things you think like, oh my God, like that. That's on the top. Of course, you know, there are wonderful moments and there are tests and tries. Then there's a deeper level, right? Which is the Madhyam Adhikari level. The Madhyam Adhikari penetrates deeper. And because he surrenders to Krishna's will, the Madhyam Adhikari goes beyond the externals of the movement. The kanista, the neophyte, is sort of happy in the festival when there's the ice cream, and miserable on Thursday because the remnants of the Sunday feast are really finished, and sort of like, oh God. But anyway, as the Sunday feast approaches, decides not to bloop yet, right? Bloop on Monday, kind of thing. No one bloops on Sunday. That's ridiculous. So, in this way, living from weekend to weekend and just hanging in there, the kanista is more absorbed in the externals of the movement. The madhyam goes deeper. And on the deeper level, we find the perfect teachings. The perfect teachings are always there. Doesn't matter what goes in the society. You know what I'm saying? The perfect teachings are still there. The Bhagavad Gita is still the Bhagavad Gita. Whether there's a devotee who's nice to you or whether there's a devotee who's not so nice to you. Okay, it's not so nice, but anyway, the Bhagavad Gita is still the Bhagavad Gita. That message cannot be touched. Not, that's pure. That stands, right? And in any condition, one can connect to that. So the madhyam goes deep into the process. He chants deep, he goes deeply into the philosophy, adjusts his life accordingly. And therefore the madhyam lives there in that consciousness. And from there goes up into the organization and makes a contribution. The uttam still goes deeper. The uttam is not just living in a process. The uttam lives in his relationship with Krishna. Uttam means beyond the modes of material nature. The uttama adhikari, the topmost devotee, is always living in his relationship with Krishna. And therefore, seeing everywhere Krishna, stavara jangama dekana dekatari murti, sarvadahai istadeva spurti, whatever he sees Krishna behind it. Always sees Krishna. Sometimes sees Krishna directly, sometimes sees Krishna's arrangement. But from moment to moment, living in that relationship with Krishna. And therefore, when such a Vaishnava follows the process, it is full of life and meaning. Whereas the Madhyam may sometimes he may be faithful to the process, but sometimes doing it out of duty. The Uttam is doing it out of ecstasy and out of love. That is wonderful. He's every moment experiencing this is the most amazing, because Krishna is most wonderful. And therefore, he's always inspired. The Kanista is thinking, oh my God, oh, I have to chant those rounds again. Oh, how am I going to do it today? I don't know. I'm going to try. No. If someone says to you, if you ask, can you do this? He says, I'll try. What does that mean? Huh? Yeah, that's what it means. So I'll try. You know, can you pay me back? I'll try. Are you going to give them the money? Or is it, you're going to pay me back. I mean, can you lend me £500? Can you lend me £500? Will you pay me back? You know, I'll try. Are you going to give the money? It doesn't sound so convincing. Someone says, I'll try. But the Kanista basically says that to Krishna. I'll try. I don't know if I can do it, but I'll try. Which means, I'm not going to do it. Sometimes I'll do it, but many times I won't do it. Madhyam says, I will do it. The Uttam does it with great taste and ecstasy. So in this way, the Uttam then is enlivened in the process, in following the teachings, and therefore brings a lot of inspiration to the whole organization, lights it all up, and lends his ecstasy to the whole sangha of devotees. Even the Madhyam, who is deeply absorbed and with faith in the teachings, can also strengthens others' faith and give them inspiration. Yes, it is true. I also should be more serious. Yes. So in this way, there's a gradual penetrating of our... as we go deeper, we bring Krishna deeper into our heart. First from the external public chambers, where our devotional service is a little superficial, to deeper levels where our devotional service becomes mixed with commitment. See, in the beginning is that I like Krishna consciousness a lot. No, I really do. I really do. And absolutely. I think it's good. No. Absolutely. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita, I mean, such a deep book, amazing. Krishna book, I love it. Devotees, wonderful, wonderful people. The temple, oh, great. Pandavasena, fantastic. The retreat, it was the best. Okay, very good. Yeah. So can I go now? No, wait a minute. What about your commitment? Oh, commitment. Ah, help. But it is that. Yeah, whoever is playing with the lights. I mean, you know, it's just like, times it very well, I must say. As soon as I said commitment, the lights went out. Did you see that? And someone slipped out the door. And because the lights were out, I couldn't... it was Krishna Kirtan, my disciple. Just see. And we didn't rehearse that. That's good. All right, short, to the point. So the difference between kanista and uttam and madhyam is in commitment. Where one says, yes, now I make a commitment, now I'm going to live by the words of Krishna. The difference between the madhyam and the uttam is actual deep eagerness. The madhyam is eager to serve Krishna, and that is called lolyam, the eagerness of the madhyam. The madhyam has eagerness and wants to have Krishna prema, wants to have love of God. Said, but the uttam has samutkanta, an other type of eagerness. The samutkanta just wants to be with Krishna. The uttam is just, from moment to moment, just wants to only be with Krishna, and sometimes lives in separation of Krishna, or lives with Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described it as follows. He said, for most people, the heart and the mind are the same. He said, but my mind is Vrindavan. And then speaking in the mood of Radharani to Krishna. So since you like Vrindavan, why don't you put your lotus feet there? Yeah. So Vrindavan is the place that is completely, every inch of Vrindavan is meant for Krishna's pleasure. That is the unique feature of Vrindavan. There's nothing in Vrindavan that is not meant for Krishna's pleasure. Nothing. Everything. Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, either directly or indirectly. So in that way, one must see Vrindavan. So the uttam is always living so closely connected with Krishna. It is at that stage that one will actually meet Krishna in his inner chamber, and where the last shadow of material life, of material interest, disappears, and where Krishna becomes everything. So it's a gradual penetration. When I spoke in the beginning and said that what is the use of the bowman's arrow? What is the use of the words of the poet if they don't pierce the heart and make the head spin? What is the use? So we see that piercing, that the penetration is kind of a gradual penetration to deeper and deeper levels. And that way, our spiritual life turns gradually from external to internal. Those who never make the commitment and just drag their feet, they take a little longer. I like to tell the story, and I'll just tell it once again, that some years ago in Germany, they had on the German Autobahn, you've heard of the German Autobahn where there's no speed limit, where you can drive as fast as you like. Everyone in the world knows, and everyone wouldn't mind giving it a try, right? So on the German Autobahn, it's right side traffic, so the right lane is the slow lane, right? So some years back, they used to have signs of turtles, a whole row of turtles, and it said, turtles to the right. Yeah? So that, like, this turtle lane, right? So in ISKCON, we also have a turtle lane, yeah? Yeah? And it's like, the turtle lane is there for those saying, well, it's very difficult to surrender. It's like, I think I need some more time. And of course, you can take your time, but life is very short also. So there are, although Prabhupada came to the West and made no discrimination for caste, creed, race, or and so on, still I think that he did not come to make a movement of turtles. Right? So some may stay in the turtle lane, what can be done, but I don't think all of us should stay in the turtle lane. So there is a an urgency to make a commitment. And Srila Prabhupada said, one should come at least to the Madhyam Adhikari platform. Yeah. And then I would say, why stay there? Let's go to the Uttama Adhikari platform. Why not? Let's try to meet Krishna. Let's go. Let's look for him. Where is Krishna? And let us become qualified to see Krishna. Okay, it's already 11 o'clock. So is there a question or a comment? Yeah, we give preference to the Pandava Sena first. Yes. Here you speak, first of all, British, which I don't understand so well. Second of all, you know, because they don't speak English very well. And the second thing is very soft. Can you speak loud? Stand up. No, you can sit, but loud. By making commitment, one penetrates from Kanista to Madhyam Adhikari level. The commitment means to the instructions of Krishna and his representatives, the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So Guru gives his instructions. The Sadhus, they're there. So to do what they say, that's what it means. And then to live by the scripture. That's a little scary. Because with that, one must give up some independence. And then, what if you fall between the shore and the ship? That could happen. We think, the mind tells you. But that doesn't happen. Because Krishna is very merciful. He will catch his devotees, undoubtedly. So yeah, we have to make that commitment. That will make the breakthrough. And then you come very quickly to the Nista platform where you're firmly determined. And you know, once in Mayapur, Jananivas actually gave a lecture where he described that spiritual life is like pushing a car up a mountain until you come to Nista. So then you come to the peak, and after that, it's like it slopes down and it's easy. It rolls by itself. Yeah, in the more advanced stages. Then spiritualize, it rolls by itself. But up to Nista, you have to push it up a mountain. Yeah. So that commitment has to be made to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And then soon after that, one comes to Nista. Loud. Huh? It's chanting 16 rounds. It's bowing down to the devotees, folding your hands and say, what service can I do? Can I do some service? It's ultimately that, you know. What do you think I should do? And then do it. That's what that means. Then just do it. So sooner or later, one has to accept the directions of others. That is what that commitment means. There's still ample of room for independence. Don't worry. That goes on. Okay, one last question. Yes. Well, it's interesting that it is said that the Madhyam Adhikari, Prema Maiti Kripupeksya, it says he also has Prema. He already has love, although he is not completely pure. Right? In the intermediate state, we are not completely pure, but still he serves Krishna out of love, but it's immature. It hasn't really reached its full depth. So, Prabhupada also said that surrender means that one must adjust every aspect of his life according to the will of Krishna. So little by little, love means we want to do it the way Krishna likes it. He likes it so much. This way, oh, then we do it that way. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What Krishna likes, that's what I like. That's love. No, it's just love. It's just humility comes also, but it's just love. I mean, you know, the devotee wants nothing from the service, nothing in return. So that is humility, detached, and so on. Has no agenda. But there's one thing the devotee wants. It's something like my grandmother. You know, my grandmother was a nice grandmother. And one thing she loved to do was like make stacks of pancakes, right? And then, of course, we had to eat them all until we almost died, right? That was her pleasure, right? Where you came like close to death. And then, but at the same time, in total ecstasy, right? And then she would see us there lying half knocked out on the chairs in total ecstasy. That was her ecstasy, right? Yeah. So a devotee is not asking Krishna for any wealth. No. A devotee is not asking Krishna for any blessings in this material world. A devotee wants only one thing from Krishna. A devotee wants only to see in Krishna, you know, a little glimmer of recognition for our offering. You know, just that he loves it. Right? If we cook pancakes for Krishna, that Krishna just got this like ecstatic look from wow. That's the ecstasy. When we make a garland for Krishna, that Krishna just like, you know, just holds on to it like, that's enough to make a devotee fly, right? So that's love. We want to see that Krishna loves our service. That's all we want. Okay. Yes, Krishna Kirtan. Faking it to make it. Well, that's good. I mean, you know, by acting in a humble way, right, we place ourselves in the position of a humble person, although we are not humble. I would rather say that, like, I am actually wonderful and intelligent and great and so on, but instead I'm going to say all of you are very wonderful, very great, and so on. And in that we take a humble position and get purified. So to externally behave according to the qualities of a Vaishnava helps us to develop them. But there are two ways to develop them. One is by making sacrifice in devotional service, anartapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madoksaje. So that's the automatic purification you get in devotional service, just by the process. You do devotional service and you become purified. And the other one is to make the conscious endeavor to try and act on a purified platform. Of the two, actually the purification of devotional service is the most important. And the conscious endeavor that we make to develop the quality is like a supportive activity. That's actually the hierarchy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, both simultaneous. Both simultaneous. Don't, you know, like we try not to upset any Vaishnava. We try to be humble, tolerant, nice, kind, and all the Vaishnava qualities. But you know, like my mother, when I was a kid, told me a story. And the story was about two princesses. And one, when she opened her mouth, roses would come out. And the other one, frogs. And in my case, when I try for the roses, you know, many times there's roses, but every once in a while there's the inadvertent frog. And what to do when a frog jumps out of your mouth? You can't put it back in, can you? And then it bounces there and all its ugliness, and you think, I shouldn't have said that. But too late, the frog is out. You know, so it does happen. We are not perfect, so it does happen that every once in a while a frog jumps out of our mouth. What to do? Just say sorry to everyone and say what to do. You know, I'm trying to get over it. Yeah. And we all try to do that. Yeah. Okay. We are. Seeing something going on. Of course, I know what it is. It is a group of people I've seen before.
So now we'll have a quick presentation about the Bhaktivedanta College, which is the university here. So some of the students and Yadananda Maharaj, who sat at the back, will quickly give a presentation and say a few words about it. So fortunately, some of us in 2 years ago got to spend some time with Yadananda Maharaj on the Spain retreat. He's a disciple of His Holiness Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj, and he travels all over the world preaching in various different countries. So we're very fortunate to have him here today. He's based here in Radlesh because he is the principal of the Bhaktivedanta College, the university here. So now we'll just hand it over to some of the students who are going to say a few things about the.
Oh, yeah, this was my job now. Oh dear. Yeah. A college in the middle of nowhere. A college where you get some a degree in Vaishnava theology. What's it going to bring to you for the future? How can you connect to the world? I also used to think that when I saw them studying, but I thought, oh, well, it keeps people busy. I thought, gives them something to do, you know, keeps them off the street, sort of. which, you know, is not so bad. But then I saw that actually it was really nice to grow, to study in an environment with devotees. I saw that it was really nice to that the students were learning a lot of interesting things, good values, which are ultimately important for the world. And then I saw that, to my surprise, that this theology degree gave all kinds of opportunities to, with an additional year of study, get a master's in education, and several did it. And I was shocked because I thought, this is it, you know, dead end. This is the end of the road. But they did it. Huh? How many did it now? How many got their masters? Five, huh? That's just the new college. Yeah. But then I always thought, how are people going to pay for this college? Right? Because other colleges, you get like you get a grant from the government. And I thought, in here, you know, it may be cheap, but you got to pay yourself. Right? I mean, I've been sponsoring someone. But I find that they are also there, very accommodating, actually. They really help people. And I thought it was really interesting to hear that some of the students are getting a degree in education and that they will then study in the Sandipani Muni school or teach in the Sandipani Muni school. Krishnavanti? Sorry. That was the other. Where was the Sandipani Muni? That was somewhere else. Krishnavanti, yeah? Yeah, so I thought that was far out because I thought that gives flow, an ongoing flow. In that way, live like a devotee, study like a devotee, work like a devotee. Gosh, you might even become a devotee. Not bad. And then there are all kinds of new courses, actually, coming up. And I think Yadunanda Maharaj should just come forward a moment and just tell us about that, because he knows these things, right?
Well, after all you have said...
no one can hear you.
After all you have said, I'm still kind of convinced, but not really convinced.
Yeah.
I still have a few more questions
for you. Okay. Maharaj, why don't you come, meanwhile? Yeah, ask the questions.
So, what good is it for
Maharaj.
To live in Ashram? And do you guys even have professional teachers? Or you just pick one of your two teachers?
No. Yeah, okay. One at a time. No machine guns. What did she say last?
Fun.
Oh, fun. First of all, the teachers are teachers with academic qualifications, right? It is a serious college with serious degrees, and they have to pass exams and everything, and you know, there's no way around that. So there is substance to it. The degree is real. The teachers are real. Everything is real in that respect. And the fun is there because there's a community of devotees. And where else can you have fun, you know, than... That's obvious. But for the non-devotees, It may not look like fun, but to us it does. Prasadam, kirtan, association of Maharaj. You had more. Is it? No, you're making so.
Let us show you all the day at the Bhaktivedanta College!
guys made it.
Yeah.
Wow. It was another party. Mm. My God, we've been having so many parties lately. It's like Rana is just a party. You know, Prabhupada once said that we should have 2 hours of kirtan every evening. Yeah. Listen me up. 2 hours of kirtan every evening. We have 1 hour of kirtan every evening. That's halfway. That's pretty good.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We make commitments. For example, here we have, out of us five, we have three of us getting initiated by Maharaj, and also several students, they get married. So it's okay. So as a combination for the continuation of Maharaj's class. Give it up to us.
Thank you. We were thinking of advertising the college of come here and find a partner, but we weren't sure whether it was ethical. Some of you may recognize me. You're from the UK. Yeah. You may have seen my twin brother Indriesh there. Yeah, just in case you get confused. Excuse me if my voice sounds like Darth Vader or the Dalek or David Cameron or someone else from outer space. Not in quite in touch with the people. We're going to have a short session on the college. It'll be very brisk. So what we're going to do at the end, you'll have an opportunity to speak to Yadunanda Swami, Kadamakarna Swami, myself, and other members of the staff and the students and graduates. So those of you who want to go, you can go. Those of you who are interested, please stay behind for a few minutes. I just want to say one thing about